Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Proverbs 22.
Are you good, brother? Do you
need I'm good. I'm good to go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Proverbs 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that we have your word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help me in the preaching of your word and help my brothers and sisters in Christ in hearing it. We just pray for your spirit to illuminate this text of scripture to our hearts, to our minds, that we might truly be obedient to it. We pray that we would be prudent and not simple for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Sometimes when I'm trying to pick a verse with doing two sections or two verses a chapter, now that I'm in the later half of Proverbs, that can be somewhat difficult to decide, but I decided to do Proverbs 22 and verse 3. Again, the verse says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple are passed on and are punished. So it's contrasting in this verse someone who's prudent or wise or discerning and someone who's simple or naive or foolish. It's contrasting a wise man versus a foolish man. A man of prudence versus being simple. And so the main point of this sermon is really just what the text is getting at directly in the wording. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. My first point, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. My second point, the simple pass on and are punished. The simple pass on and are punished. May the Spirit of God help us to understand this text. A prudent man, my first point again, foresees evil and hides himself. So again, a prudent man is one who has wisdom, discernment, understanding. He thinks rightly about a situation. So a prudent man is another way of saying a wise man, someone who has truly good understanding and acts on that. This man has been made prudent or made wise because he's come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, all of us are foolish. Without Jesus and his salvation, every single one of us are foolish. We come into the world foolish and we live foolish until God makes us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So the moment we are conceived, the moment we're born, we are born foolish. And it's only by the grace of God in Christ that we are brought out of our folly into spiritual wisdom. But a man who has been made wise, he foresees evil and he hides himself. The first evil, which is connected to what I have been saying, but the first evil, of course, a man must see to truly be wise is a man to foresee the evil of sin and coming judgment and therefore hides himself in Christ. And so we could say, because we believe that regeneration precedes faith, that we have to be born again before we can ever believe, because dead people can't believe. And so we are first made wise by the Holy Spirit. He makes us alive. And therefore, because we have wisdom now, because we've been made alive, we take hold of Christ. So a prudent man or woman, boy or girl, they see the evil of their sin. This is what someone has to see before they'll ever be converted. They first see the evil of their sin. They see the great evil of sin against a holy, righteous, and good God. And they see it and they feel the weight of God's just and righteous condemnation over their life. And they feel the reality that before God, they are undone and they have nothing to commend themselves before God. And so therefore they see their evil in their heart, in their speech, and their behavior. And because they've been made wise, they take hold of Christ and they hide themselves in the only one who can save us from evil and judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who we're waiting for to come from heaven, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so we can only first be prudent, or first truly be those who foresee evil and hide ourselves, if we are hidden in Christ. And if we've been raised with Christ, we are hidden with Christ in God. We are hidden with God in Christ with God, or with God in Christ. And so we first come to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it should somewhat go without saying, but it's very important, that the most evil thing of our world is connected with sin. Sin is the great evil of our world. Sin is the great harm of the world. Some people say the great evil maybe is lack of money or lack of education or lack of this or that. But God says the greatest evil in someone's life is their own sin. Is their own personal sin against God. Not a lack of education, not a lack of money, not a lack of friends. The greatest evil is their own sin. And so a prudent man foresees evil and he hides himself in Christ. That's the only way that someone can truly first hide themselves. If they don't hide themselves there, no other way matters at all. If they don't hide themselves in Christ unto everlasting life, it doesn't matter. But J. Gresham Machen puts it like this, quote, "It is quite useless to ask a man to adopt the Christian view of the gospel unless he first has the Christian view of sin," end quote. So no one will ever embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Master, until they have come to acknowledge the great evil of sin. Until they foresee the evil of sin and the just punishment that comes upon sinners, they will never hide themselves in Christ and find salvation. The reason why many people in our culture, or everyone, I could say, I don't think it would be too strong to say everyone who has not embraced Jesus Christ is because they have not seen their sin the way God does. And they have not seen it as evil. It's interesting. People will be fine with saying that what they do might be a mistake, or they know they're not perfect. But you tell someone that before God, your sin and you are evil. Those are fighting words. When you tell someone, they're taught from the Word of God that without Christ, their best works are evil, and all they can do is evil. And they are evil and they do evil. That's where people get upset. That is where one of the key ways the gospel is a stumbling block. Because until we understand that our sin is evil, we'll never want Christ crucified in our place. Until we understand that our sin before God is great evil, we will never understand why Jesus had to suffer and die. We will never understand the cross unless we understand the evil of sin. Jesus didn't die on the cross merely as an example or merely just a demonstration of love. He died because God's wrath against sin had to be appeased. Sin was so evil that nothing less than the sinless, spotless Lamb of God was the only way that justice could be satisfied and sinners could be saved. Because that was the only way that God could be just and the justifier of wicked men who believe upon Jesus Christ. The cross, if it shows us anything, it shows us how evil sin is. And Jesus said, if there was any other way, if there's any other way that my people could be reconciled to God the Father, take this cup from me. But there was no other way. Because the evil of sin could only be atoned and paid for by the eternal Son of God who became a man to suffer and die under its penalty. And a prudent man, someone who's been made wise, sees their sin and clings only to Jesus Christ. Hides himself in Christ. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me Rock of ages cleft for me, and me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath, and make me pure. We hide ourselves in Jesus Christ. Someone who's been made wise hides himself in Christ. So whether they've been saved for a day or for 75 years, they can say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name because they have hidden themselves in Christ. So if you haven't hidden yourself in Christ, if you're here and you have not seen the evil of your sin and you have embraced Jesus Christ as he's offered to you in the gospel, nothing else I'm going to say will really be beneficial. The only way that you can truly be able to foresee the other things connected with foreseeing evil is you first have been made wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Without that, there is no way of truly foreseeing evil and hiding yourself. It starts by being hidden in Christ unto everlasting life. And so that's where it begins. A prudent man foresees evil as it relates to his own sin, coming judgment, and therefore hides himself in the person and saving work of Jesus Christ. But second, now those who are hiding themselves in Christ, we could say unto justification, unto a right standing with God, they also foresee the evil of sin and displeasure of God in it connected with sanctification, and therefore flees sin and pursues righteousness. So a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself as it relates not only to being justified before God, but also being sanctified in Christ. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. John Brown put it like this, quote, "To fear God is to love him so that his frown would be your greatest dread and his smile would be your greatest delight," end quotes. And so the child of God wants to please God, not displease him. And so he is passionate. The child of God is passionate about pursuing righteousness and fleeing sin because he desires God's smile and not his frown. A prudent man is one who is, instead of pursuing evil, pursues righteousness and hides himself by walking in the paths of righteousness. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, we see how we are able, as the children of God, to grow in foreseeing evil and hiding ourselves in our sanctification. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. God's word says there, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here we see that it's by the use of our senses, having our senses exercised, that we are able to grow, to mature, to discern both good and evil. Because if you don't know what evil is, you can't hide yourself from it. But the Christian life, one of the key realities of the Christian life and sanctification, is discerning between good and evil. Or we could say good and almost good. And what I mean by that is sometimes the black and white areas are very easy. What takes more discernment are areas where it's not as clear. And we need discernment by using of, is this pleasing or this not pleasing to God? But the one who is prudent, his desire is to guard himself and hide himself by foreseeing evil and hiding himself from it. A prudent man keeps himself away from things that might draw away his heart and his affections from the living and true God. He's very careful, knowing that if I put this in front of my eyes, if I put this in my ears, will this dull my senses as it relates to God? Will this cause me to be quick to prayer, quick to meditation on heavenly things, quick to think and pray for someone or to share the gospel? One key way is if by doing something makes it difficult for you to pray after, it's dulling your senses. And a prudent man is seeking to put himself in places where he can give himself to meditation, to prayer, to evangelism, if opportunity comes, by having his mind and his heart set upon things that are good. This doesn't mean we can never have leisure time or times where we're relaxing, but even in those times, should not be things that are evil and therefore not dulling the senses, spiritual senses. And so we should be those who are seeking and pursuing what will help me in my sanctification. What will guard me against evil? And so for different people, that might be different things. But the Christian says, what is this going to help me or harm me in my Christian life? A prudent man, he foresees evil and he hides himself. A prudent man, a prudent woman, a prudent boy or girl says, this is evil, and if I give myself to it, it's not going to be good. And so you hide yourself. You flee from it. You run from it. We see this with Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph foresaw the evil of Potiphar's wife. We know for many, we don't know exactly how long, but she was seeking for him to commit adultery with her for a good while. She was saying, lie with me, lie with me. And then eventually, he was by himself with her. He didn't realize no one was there. She grabbed him and he ran away because he foresaw the evil and he hid himself by running. He foresaw the evil and he ran. We see with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How did they foresee the evil? Well, they foresaw the evil by saying, if we bow, even if no one else would know, God knows. God knows. Remember, they were in captivity, so there were other Jews there. And they said, even if our other Jewish brethren according to the flesh are bowing, we won't, because we know it's evil to bow down to false gods. And therefore, they said it was better to burn in the fire than to violate their conscience before God. Do we understand that point? They thought it would be better for them to burn in the fire than for them to violate their conscience and break the first commandment. So we can say it like this, it's better to suffer than to sin. It's better to suffer than to sin. And so they were willing, because they foresaw the evil of bowing down to a statue, to a false god, and they foresaw that evil and they hid themselves. But they didn't hide by fleeing, they hid themselves from it by saying, we will not do it. And our God will deliver us, and even if he doesn't, Nebuchadnezzar, know for sure that we will not bow down to your statue. Or Daniel. How did Daniel, as a prudent man, foresee evil and hide himself? He knew that there is a decree of 30 days you cannot pray to anybody except the king. And he knew that would be evil to do that. Because he needed the Lord's help every day. And he couldn't go 30 days without prayer. And so he decided to purpose in his heart, as his custom was, to pray with the windows open, because he knew that it would be better to suffer the lion's den than to violate his conscience against the living God. And therefore, he prayed. I love it, because he out in the open and says, I'm not changing my pattern one bit. Consequences come as they may. And he was thrown in the lion's den, and he was preserved. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were from the fire, he was preserved from the lions, because he knew it was better to suffer than to sin. And he was willing to suffer rather than sin. And so hiding yourself doesn't always mean foreseeing something and then fleeing from it. It could be going into that situation and saying, I am not going to compromise my conscience before God for the sake of this idol, for the sake of this sin. And so a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. He seeks to not make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. He seeks to be circumspect in the choices that he makes and the things that he does, because he knows that the heart can be easily led astray into things that are not helpful. The best of Christians know that, prone to wander, Lord. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And so we need the grace of God so that we can flee sin, foresee evil, and hide ourselves. We need much grace. And because we live in a world that drinks iniquity like it's water, as the book of Job says, some of this is by God's grace renewing our minds so much, because a lot of it we can't get away from. It's all around us. And so we need a heart that is more and more conformed to the word and not the world. And therefore the desires or the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life become less attractive. That is what we need by God's grace. We're always going to be tempted till the day we die. We're always going to have remaining sin. But when a Christian is growing, is one way they know they're growing is their appetite for sin lessens and lessens. Their desire for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life becomes less and less. It doesn't mean they'll never stumble. It doesn't mean they'll never give in. But it means that their desires are now more and more quenched, or more and more, their desires are not there as much as they used to be. And how does that happen? That happens by not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove was that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's how it happens. Because when we're saturated in God's word, whether by listening to sermons or things connected or reading it or praying over it or meditating over it, hiding God's word in our heart and sin can't live together. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Or also the reality, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And so a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. He flees from it. He runs from it. Or in necessary situations, he confronts it, but does not give in. And so out of love for God, who has rescued us from our sin, we seek by God's help to flee sin and pursue righteousness. And so the question for you as a child of God is, are you being prudent like that? Are you foreseeing evil, evils of your own heart, evils around you, and foreseeing it and hiding yourself from it, seeking to be free of it, seeking to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets or entangles us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? We need God's grace to do that. And for you, it might be different from me. For me, it might be different than you. But all of us have to be, if we're in Christ, walking in wisdom, foreseeing evil and hiding ourselves from it. And so we need God's help to do that. We need God's help to be circumspect, to be wise in foreseeing evil and hiding ourselves. And the only way that can happen more and more is our discernment is trained by use to discern between good and evil as we are seeking to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And third, a prudent man, third connected with this, a prudent man foresees the evils connected with living in a fallen world and hides himself. There are many things that are connected with living in a fallen world and prudence that we need in light of those things. And a prudent man foresees the evils and dangers of living in a fallen world and seeks to hide himself, not as a coward, but as a prudent man from danger. And so because we live in a fallen world, we must be wise about the choices that we make in relation to living in a fallen world. A man especially must be prudent in his choices as it relates to protect those under his care and himself. And so a prudent man foresees evil, sees the danger of our fallen world, and hides himself from it. And so we should not put ourselves where we needlessly or foolishly put ourselves in situations of evil and danger because we're being prudent. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Instead of being foolish and putting ourselves into harm's way, it should be our desire to foresee the evil that could come upon us and hide ourselves. And so living in a fallen world necessitates doing certain things. If we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to lock our doors. If we lived in a perfect world, we wouldn't have to worry about where we go, when we go, how we go, what we have, what we don't have. We wouldn't have to worry about those things. But living in a fallen world, prudent men and women foresee the evils and hide themselves. And so we need wisdom, not only to hide ourselves in Christ, justification, not only to hide ourselves from evil in sanctification, but even just in our ordinary life to hide ourselves from evil connected with living in a fallen world. But now my second point, the simple pass on and are punished. The simple pass on and are punished, which is how the end of the verse reads, but the simple pass on and are punished. So unlike the prudent man who sees evil and hides himself from it, the simple, the naive, the foolish, they pass on an evil and they are punished for it. The simple man, he's not concerned with sin or repentance or judgment or Christ or salvation because he's simple and will not heed the counsel of Scripture. And so he's simple. He might hear the warnings of his sin. He might hear the warnings of judgment to come. He might hear the warnings of sin will not satisfy. But he doesn't listen to any of those things because he's simple and chooses his own path. This is why people will choose to do things that are sinful. The key reason, I would say, is because they think that what they get out of that sin is better than what they can have in God. They believe the lie that the pleasure of this sin would be better than pleasures in God. Why would the man commit adultery on his wife? Because he believes that being with that woman is better than obeying God's word. He believes that the pleasure that that will bring him is better than obeying God. Why would the man steal? Because he believes that what he can get from stealing is better than what he can get in God. Why does the woman murder her baby in abortion? Because she believes that murdering her baby is better than what she can get by loving God. Why does the person lie to get more money? Because they believe that having that money is better than loving God. Why does the person seek to murder another person out of anger? Because they believe that getting that revenge will be better than getting pleasure in God. The simple pass on, because at that moment they are convinced that the pleasure of sin is better than the pleasures of God. That is the root of sin. It's we believe that something we can get from sin is better than what we can get in God. And that's why the simple pass on are punished. And this can be true of believers, because every time we sin, even as believers, we give in to simple or foolish mindset. We are believing at that moment that sin is better than God. That's what we're believing at that moment. Sin is better than God. And the reason why it can be so deceitful is because it's wrong to say there's no pleasure in sin. That's not biblical. It's wrong to say there's no pleasure in sin. There is pleasure in sin. That's what makes it tempting. But it's, as the Bible says, the fleeting or the passing pleasures of sin. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. It's like eating into a fruit that at first is sweet and then becomes bitter. And especially if we have the Spirit of God in us, that bitterness comes quick. Because we realize that we believed the lie that sin was better. And the simple, they pass on in their sin and are punished. They think that it's going to be better for them, but it's a lie. And that's what the devil tries to do for every single person. He seeks deception because he's the father of lies. And therefore his strategy is to hide the hook on the golden bait. As we would say in our kind of like an American idiom, I guess, or something to that effect, all that glitters ain't gold. Or we'd also say the grass ain't greener on the other side. I know that's not proper English, but that's how we would say it. That's how we would say it. The grass ain't greener on the other side, but that's what the devil tries to get us to believe. If only you could have this, if only you could do this, if only you were allowed to do this, then it would be better for you. Then you would be happier, and that's what he convinces simple-minded people to believe. That if only you could give yourself to sin, it would be better. And that's what he tries to even get Christians to believe. Through the demonic realm and through the world and through our remaining sin, what does he try to do? He tries to get us to believe the lie that sin is better, that sin is the way to go. That's what he tries to get us to do. And the simple he has in his grip, and they're just in his snare. But he does the same trick even for the child of God, is to get us to believe that sin is better for us. And one of the key realities of our sanctification, Yes, we need to know God as our Heavenly Father. We have to be united to Jesus Christ. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. But we also must believe that sin is always 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, a million out of a million, worse decision than choosing God in obedience to Him. Because what the devil wants to get us to believe is that God is holding something back from us. He doesn't want good for us. He's stingy. That's what he did in the garden. He tried to say, why wouldn't God give you this tree? God is stingy. And we have to believe that God is not stingy. He's a loving Father that only wants our good. I think I used this example for another sermon, but it's good to use it again in this context. It's like a father who tells his son, don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. It's not because he's trying to take fun away from him. It's not because he's saying, I want to be a killjoy and I don't want you to be happy, so don't touch the stove. Because if you touch it, you'll actually be happy and I don't want that for you. No, the father isn't thinking that. The father knows if he touches the stove, it will burn his hand. And him saying, son, don't touch the stove is an act of love to his son so that he doesn't have a scar on his hand from a burn from touching the stove. And that's what God's word teaches us, that God's commands are for our good. They're because he loves us. But the simple, the foolish, they don't believe that, and therefore they pass on and are punished. They don't truly believe that judgment comes, or if they do believe it, they don't care. They don't believe that sin is truly evil. Or if they do believe it, they don't care. And they don't care about walking in God's ways. And therefore, they pass on or are punished. They can experience temporal consequences in this life because there's temporal consequences to our sin. One key way we can see temporal consequences is related to sexual immorality. I don't have to go into detail, but I think you get the point there. We see temporal consequences to sexual immorality. And also there's punishment in the life to come because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. And so the simple, they pass on and are punished. But this is also important. Even if we've been made wise into salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, we need to be reminded of the foolishness of passing on and not foreseeing evil and hiding ourselves. The importance of us knowing the evil of sin and how it's a passing pleasure. But those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Those who seek pleasure in what the world offers, they will always be thirsty. Because those things were never meant to satisfy. As Solomon by the Holy Spirit in the book of Ecclesiastes would say, to everything without God is vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. And so they believe the lie. They believe the lie of the reality that if they give themselves to sin, that is the best way for them. But as Christians, we also must be reminded that sin is a lie. Sin is a lie. Sin wants you to believe that God is not good and God's commandments are not loving. It's so important that you understand this. There's not things I could preach more practically than this. The reality that at the basis of sin, we must remember that it's a lie. That it's a lie. Sin truly makes us stupid. Stupid's actually a Bible word. I'll turn to Proverbs 12. I'll show you where it says that. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Depending on your translation, it might do it different, but this from the New King James Version. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. It says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That's what the Bible says. If you hate correction, you're stupid. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Sometimes if I say that word to my Bible class, I'll tell them that's a Bible word. If you hate correction, it's because you're being stupid. And that's what sin does to us. It makes us stupid. It makes us see things in all the wrong ways. It makes us see things in ways we shouldn't. And therefore, we must have wisdom. We must have wisdom from heaven to look at sin for what it is, to foresee it and see it as evil and hide ourselves. Because as we see that, we're able to glory in the fact that Christ died for our sins, to pay the debts for us so that our evil could be purged, could be blotted out. And now he gives us his Holy Spirit if we are united to him by faith so that we can see evil. Because you know what happens when someone comes to faith in Christ? They get new eyes. They begin to see the world differently. Before Christ, they didn't see evil in sin like God defines it. When we come to Christ, we now have eyes open and we see evil in ourselves and in others in ways we never saw it. Because God, when he makes us new in Christ, a new creation, he gives us new eyes. So therefore, we see evil as he sees it. But we live in a culture that is calling evil good and good evil. We live in a culture where people in delusions can think they're female when God made them male. We live in a culture with the perversion of sodomy or homosexuality, which is contrary to nature. We live in a world where people are consumed with sexualizing children. We live in a world where people are consumed with their great evil. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must foresee evil and hide themselves. God wants the church of Jesus Christ to call evil, evil, and good, good. Because if the church won't, no one else will. And therefore, we must be prudent for seeing evil and hiding ourselves. We live in a world of depravity. It's always been like that since the fall. But this is the generation that God has put us in. And therefore, we must be wise for seeing evil and hiding ourselves. But for us as Christians, we must, by God's grace, for you to make this very practical, you have to know what areas that you're tempted in. What areas are you prone to stumble in? What areas are you prone to give into? What areas are you prone to allow the flesh to dominate you? And you must make war on those things. You must make war on them. You must see, okay, I know for myself, this is a genuine temptation that I feel the struggle to give into, and I don't want it. And therefore, if you're a prudent man or woman, you foresee the evil. You say, okay, you know what? This, whatever it is evil because God says it is, because it's sin, and hide yourself. That might mean you don't go places that trigger you to this. That might mean you don't watch things that could trigger you to this. That might mean you don't listen to things that might trigger you to this. That might mean you choose not to participate in things that might tempt you to this. That might mean, this isn't a blanket statement because it would depend on the person. For some people, if they watch the news too much, they might feel anxious, fearful, and not trust God. And therefore, for them, foreseeing evil, would say, I need to turn off the news because it's not helpful to my sanctification. I'm not saying that as a blanket statement. Some people can, and it's not wrong to be informed. But if it's causing you to sin, then the prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. If watching a certain movie that maybe isn't, there's not maybe anything super, super bad, but there's a scene in it that triggers you to lust, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself and says, I'm not watching it. It may be listening to something causes you to be really sinfully angry at the world. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself and says, you know what? This is causing me to have sinful anger, and therefore it's best that I hide myself and set it aside. A prudent man might say, you know what? By being in these people's company, it's actually making me feel discontent. And either they have to just, maybe it's not the people's fault, maybe it's just their fault, to say, what does it look like for me to be a prudent man to foresee the evil of discontentment and hide myself? This is where it gets very practical. Because it is, you know, it's not wrong if you don't know everything that's going on in the news. It's okay. If you don't know everything about everything, it's okay. If you're not the person who knows everything about all the movies, that's okay. It's probably better for you, for your sanctification, to not know everything about the movies nowadays. It's okay if you don't know everything about the latest cool music. That's okay. You will go to heaven and you don't even know any of that whatsoever. But without holiness, you won't see the Lord. But without holiness, you won't see the Lord. And therefore, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. So think about your own life. Where are ways that you are prone to wander? And are you actually saying, that I don't want to make provision for the flesh? Where are areas where you're prone to wander, and are you willing to be wise and discerning enough to say, you know what? I can't do this because this is a temptation for me. Lead us not into temptation, Jesus tells us to pray. And so we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And that might be different. Some for certain people, some things are okay, some things aren't. There are things that are black and white, definitely no. But a lot of times for Christians, it takes discernment to know your own self and to know what you can handle without it causing you to sin, or tempting you to sin, I should say, because nothing ever causes you to sin. You make the choice to sin. But we need wisdom. We need wisdom. But if you're here without Christ, without the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, right now you are the simple, you are the foolish, you are, and bound up in your heart is foolishness, and without repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will pass on and be punished. But only in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him, can you find redemption through him and by him and be redeemed. Without Christ, you cannot have wisdom. Without Christ, you cannot be prudent. Without Christ, you cannot truly have discernment. You cannot truly see evil for what it is. And therefore, without Christ, you are the simple who will pass on and are punished. And so you need Christ to rescue you from your sin, to redeem you, to bring you into his kingdom, so that you can be wise for seeing evil and hiding yourself through faith in Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have salvation is through him. Without it, there's punishment. But then again, for God's people, oh, how we need, or for God's people, I was talking to you a lot about those practical things before, but again, for the saints, we must grow in wisdom and discernment to see evil for what it is, call it evil, and hide ourselves from the danger of it. We need our senses trained to discern good and evil. We need God's help to put off sin and put on righteousness. We need God's help to live a life pleasing in God's sight. And we need discernment that comes by filling our mind with the Word. Filling our mind with the Word. One of the best ways as well, practically, is memorize 2, 3, 4 verses, 1 or 2 verses that are related to the temptation you have. If it's anger, memorize, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If it's lust, memorize, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If it's discontentment, memorize the reality that godliness with contentment is great gain. If it's anger, memorize also for the wrath, or maybe I already did anger, but the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If it's anxiety, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If it's worldly fear, memorize, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If it's greed, memorize, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Take verses and hide them in your heart so that when the temptation comes, you can fight the lie with truth. Because what overcomes lies? Truth. And therefore, we need the truth of God's word in our heart and our mind. So when the lie comes and says, money is what you should live for, we have the love of money is the root of all evil. If lust comes and we say, and it's tempting us, we say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If wrath comes and says, you're justified in being angry, we say, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We need the word in our hearts, in our minds, so that we can fight against the lies that sin brings. And a great text as well is Philippians 4:8 about meditating on what is good, lovely, etc., so that we can put off sin and put on righteousness. It is God's will for us that we would be prudent for seeing evil and hiding ourselves. And the wonderful truth is if we're in Christ, we can. We can. Because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness so that we can put off sin and put on righteousness. And so may God help us to be those who foresee evil and hide ourselves. Because by doing it, you'll save yourself a lot of pain and you'll give much glory to our God. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this time in your word, and we pray that we truly, your people, will be prudent for seeing evil and hiding ourselves. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.